Here you go. First episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you ready?
We're recording.
Great. Okay. All right, here we are. Yeah, Andrew and I are walking around on the floor here, and it just opened up to the general population. We were around for an hour when it was pretty Spartan, but now the general release of people is in here. And it's a very roomy con so far. Everybody's got room, and the displays are nice. We found, even though Andrew and I aren't conservative Christian types, we've already found plenty of things to offend us.
Yes, if you can figure out what has offended Vernon already that has to do with video games,
it's trivia. And I'm not even a Christian, and there's another
clue.
He's
offended.
Yeah. We're going to find plenty of offensive things on the floor.
What else have we done?
Let's see.
We haven't done it. We've been looking at art.
Yeah, we've been looking at art. Right. We're dabbling. Andrew's looking for some art today, so we're getting his hands wet, as it were. And we talked to a few retailers, and they all look really nice and ready to go. And the cosplay is pretty good, too, so far. We got people who are really into it, you know, so we got nowhere to go but up so far as this stuff is concerned.
All right. Yeah. I think that's it for now.
All righty. We'll check in later. You want the lead in?
No, you just, this is the
lead. Is it okay?
We're
We're back again, man. Taking a little breather here from the floor of the con. It's starting to get a little, I wouldn't say crowded, but there's some areas of activity.
Busy. Yeah. Artists and Artist Alley, some of the bigger ones are starting to get lines.
Yeah.
So
there's
you gotta navigate that.
Right. And, you know, it's been pretty jovial so far. The Artist Alley is really nice, pretty spacious, good quality of artists this year.
Yeah.
Very, I would say, almost professional grade for the majority of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no real amateurs here that I can see.
No.
You could tell they definitely had a vetting process, I think, because then Andrew just mentioned they had a nice area for, like, the kids' artists to be in.
Yeah, if anybody's looking for the kids' area, if anybody's listening to this would be the next thing.
Yeah, there you go.
The kids' area is actually off to itself. Scotty Young's over there, Andrew Peapoy, and who else?
There was, what's the guy, Peterson, the guy who does Mouse Guard. He was on the same corner as well.
And it's a different type of area, and the thing they seem to have in common is it's more kid-oriented.
Yeah, it's rather nice because it's roomy enough to get around, you know, and everybody's in pretty good spirits. It's the first day, you know, that's
right.
It. Like, we're just getting started. We'll see what happens Saturday. You know, get that haggard look on their face, but...
We haven't bothered anybody yet. We almost bothered Brian Glass, who does Furious, but
yeah.
We got to go back and bug him. He was setting up.
Yeah, it's still early yet. Some people are still setting up yet. They're Johnny-come-latelys, I guess, but stuff happens. And we're in the cafe area, which has a really marvelous view of the con. And it doesn't look like anybody's discovered this area yet because we're up here kind of by ourselves. It's rather nice.
Yeah.
And we'll be hitting Artist Alley again, talking to people and whatnot. And we're looking at prints and action figures. Tons of that stuff laying around here.
I haven't found the really old toys yet.
Yeah, a lot of reissues and stuff like that. The dealers here are not into antiquities. It's mostly upgraded versions of retro-style toys and stuff like that. No real antiques as of yet. Lots of original art to be found.
Mm-hmm.
We've been paging through some of that, getting ourselves getting our fingers wet over there.
I found some pages that I might get, but I'm debating whether or not to let nostalgia totally take me over.
Now, you got to be totally objective when buying art, and it's always good to walk away.
Well, I was thinking I'd want some Raphael Kanin.
Yeah.
Firestorm.
Yeah, he's pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know he'll be there when we come back.
I didn't find any of his yet.
Oh, not yet?
Not
okay.
Yet.
Well, when we hit the Go By Another Artist, we'll look for some Firestorm or Kanin.
Or like a nice swamp thing. But I think what I really probably want is a...
something you can put on the wall at home. That's part of it.
I can't put anything on the wall in my apartment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're just going to glue it up there with
Yeah, exactly. Double side tape my original art. That's a great idea.
Yeah, very bohemian-esque type of frame, yeah. Oh, one other thing, man. If you have to go to the bathroom here, be prepared
to
walk. Yeah, because, man, there ain't no handy bathrooms except around the perimeter, and then they require you to go down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
So do not wait to go to the bathroom. Get started now.
They gotta sell those pea suits from Dune.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That would be really smart.
They have a name. I can't remember.
And we're having fun looking at some of the cosplay. We're trying to figure out the cosplay, people. We've run into a remarkable amount of characters that Andrew and I have never seen.
Yeah.
I think they're all homegrown or something. I don't know. Orange Girl was hot, but I had no idea what comic book she was from. Hey, would she have been that chick on Teen Titans, maybe? one's got the burning hair. Yeah, I think so, yeah. But Orange Cat, very interesting. She looked good, but I didn't know what comic she was from. And we had this Victorian lady in a green Victorian dress that puffed out really nicely, and it was strapless, and then she had a Boba Fett helmet on. Okay, you know, that was pretty good, yeah. But so far, so good. We're just taking a sea leg with our brakes, and hopefully we'll run into some people pretty soon and see what's going on.
We're gonna find a garbage can, too. Okay. All right, now here we go.
All right, here we go with another report here from the floor of C2E2 in Chicago. Myself, Vernon, and Andrew have been wandering around. We attended a really cool panel on editors by editing.
Yeah, exactly.
Editors by editing or something like that.
Editors on editing.
On editing, right. They had the big three editors from Paper Cuts, Zenoscope Press, and
Valiant.
And these gentlemen were really nice about explaining to the studio audience what type of process goes into editing, how they look at comic books, how to get the process of getting in to see them, what kind of formats. It was very informative, I thought.
And it's just kind of unusual.
We learned a couple of unusual things about being an independent producer of comics.
The licensed one.
That was really something. Yeah. How you can end up losing money fast, because there's a certain threshold of sales you have to make when you license a comic. And if you don't, you still have to pay the licensee anyway.
Yeah.
So if your comic bombs, you still got to owe that up. And I never knew that before.
Well, no, it sounds like it's a punitive charge. Like, if you don't make 10,000 copies, you owe us X amount of dollars.
In some ways, I guess when you look at it from the perspective of the franchisor, that's actually a good, because they don't want to waste their time on someone who's not going to make money. They want to kind of guarantee, because they could have gone with somebody else who might have made money.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like a guarantee, but Andrew and I were not familiar with that aspect of it, you know?
That was interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting to hear the guy from Zenoscope, what's his name, Ralph Tedeschi.
Tedesco. Yeah, yeah.
Talk.
He was probably the most...
He's very entertaining.
Yeah, he's probably the most friendly Midwestern guy you'd imagine as an editor.
But it's interesting to hear somebody talk about Zenoscope, which is a publisher that is famous for its covers, and that's about it.
Yeah. It was interesting when he talked about editing... writers, and but he does all the covers. He has like three editors working under him to go over stuff, but he does mostly the covers, and obviously that makes the covers the most important part of the book.
Exactly.
From what I can understand,
you know? And what else?
The guy at Paper Cuts, when he talked about stuff, and one of the things near the end of the discussion, I don't know who was leading the discussion, but obviously he was someone that
Buddy Scalera.
Yeah, he had
Deadpool.
Yeah, he had wrote Deadpool. He had done some professional work, but he also self-published a graphic novel that he printed and published and brought around. And it was interesting to say how he had to eventually give up because it was costing him money to print copies.
He sold out his print run,
right?
And he couldn't fill any reorders from Diamond.
No, because I guess you have to have a high threshold in printing to make money on it.
Right. And he was printing every copy at a loss.
Right, so he had to stop doing that. I was like, wow, that's an interesting thing, you know. But you have to be very careful when you're a self-publisher, you know. They always say, well, it's good to go out there and put a comic out there and see what's going on and get your name in, but you really got to watch those dollar signs and everything.
The Zenoscope guy talked about that too, about how when they were starting out, they paid too high of a page rate.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, he was talking about, 120 a page or something?
150 a page,
And I was like, how in Sam's hell can a place like Zenoscope afford, if a guy does a 20-page story for the book, you're talking, $2,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, there's no way you can afford that, you know? And one of the interesting things, too, was these circulation numbers. They were talking about that. And I wanted to talk more about that, but since the panel was on editing, I didn't want to interrupt with all of these, number questions. At what point... Somebody said, what point does a book break? And they said 5,000, you know? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's about right, at least from what I can tell in statistics. What's interesting is we see a lot of books from Marvel and DC. They're not getting near the 5,000 point, but there's a couple of DC ones that are hovering around 9,000. And I said, well, how could they be making a profit at DC on a book that sells 9,000+ copies, you know? So we were kind of interested in that aspect of it. Another was the digital publishing as well. They were talking, it's kind of cute the way they give us the big diatribe at the end about not downloading illegally digital comics. And I was like, well... it was nice. I don't know if they're going to guilt trip people into stop doing it. Maybe they get them to realize that it's bad for the creative individuals who aren't getting paid and stuff like that. And
except that the panel then gave the moderator shit, which was hilarious.
Yeah. And I had been wondering, and since, again, it was a panel about editing, but they had gotten into the digital argument, and I was like, well, at what point are digital comics making money for you guys, or are they just primarily an outreach tool? And I think they kind of answered that question to some degree when they were talking about, well, make sure you don't download digital comics illegally, kids. So to me, it said that it was obviously a problem, you know, as far as profitability. So as a comics retailer, I had become less worried about digital comics making me hash, that's for sure. And so far, we've been meeting lots of people. I like to say hello to everybody that ran into me on the con so far. Can't name names, but there's just too many of you to do. But it's great seeing everybody out there healthy and running around the con.
All right.
All righty.
We need to go get food.
Man. What do you want?
I don't know. Okay, yeah, it's been 2 hours since our last little episode. We've been looking at a lot of...
We've been getting involved with the retailer. And we've been looking at all the comic books, original art, action figures. There's a lot here.
Yeah.
The prices seem to be pretty fair so far. We've seen some really expensive stuff, but it's tempered. If you look around, you can find some pretty good deals here, you know.
If you look around, you can find it. So
Andrew and I were both able to survive finding our own little special interest things, you know, which we won't talk about on the podcast, but lots of good fetish gear and stuff too as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. That's what we'll call your Mark Brooks obsession.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he actually got pretty good. We met his wife in Artist Alley. We spent quite a bit of time in Artist Alley too as well, and talked to a few people, and Mr. Brooks, man, he's really got some improved artwork over there. It's he's grown leaps and bounds since the last couple of years, I'll tell you that much.
Well, so can we talk to Jeff Darrow for a second?
Yeah, he's got, man, he had some really bloody stuff at his table, man. I don't know if it must be a phase of life he's going through, because he's got some really disgusting artwork up there. Lots of evisceration, bodies cut in half, zombies, the whole nine. I guess maybe he's catering to the, I don't know, the current fascination with zombies to some degree. Maybe that's what Shaolin Cowboy was all about after all.
It was just zombie fetish.
And he's like, well, here I am at the con. I got zombie fetish portfolio. We're going for it, you know? So maybe that's why those issues of Shaolin Cowboy were there, like one big mass marketing campaign for Jeff Darrow. I don't know. Great artwork, though. Yeah. I can't argue about that.
What else was there?
Let's see. Who else captured our interest? Oh, yeah, we found there was a lot of artists in Artist Alley. I would say overall, the professional, there's not as many, like, working artists as there are non-working, which you'd kind of expect.
Right.
But the ones that are amateurs were of at least a decent quality, you know. They all had their talents were polished enough to where they have their little area to work in, and they did fine. It wasn't what I would call any really embarrassing amateur art there at all.
No, not embarrassing. But yeah, the lack of working artists was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just because you get used to seeing a certain amount of them.
Yeah, I guess so. And maybe it was expensive, I don't know. But we found a lot of... And they kind of grouped them together. They were kind of like particular about how they grouped people together. You know, they were nice. They had the children-friendly stuff in one area, and probably the least finished people.
We still need to go look at Scotty Young when we get a second.
Yeah. His table was always filled with people, so we just kept moving around being the... you know,
lazy bastards.
Well,
they are.
Just the lovers of mankind. When you get all these people around there, oof, man.
What were you going to do? Get James Robinson to sign a copy of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen DVD?
I don't know, man. He looked pretty unapproachable. Yeah. I don't know. I just think I was staying away from that one.
No Brett Booth. We were going to.
Yeah, we were looking for Brett Booth.
We were looking for Brett Booth.
And we're still debating whether or not Stan Lee's on the agenda. We're going to give it a shot, but if there are too many zombies on front of the Stan Lee thing, we may have to mow them down with Jeff Darrow's saw.
Yeah, exactly.
We also unwittingly participated in a cosplay contest. We were roaming around, got lost in the honeycombs of McCormick Place, and ended up coming up from the back end of a cosplay exhibition. It was quite fun. Good thing we came as cosplaying podcasters.
Yeah, exactly.
But
accessories.
Accessories. Yeah, we had plenty. But the mood's good. You know, lots of comics. God, what was it? What, less weapon manufacturers is kind of nice. I only saw two weapon booths this year. It was kind of nice.
I think there was three, but yeah.
And the cosplay has been pretty good too still. No complaints. Yeah, we went around, took our notes, say, okay, what are we going to pick up before we leave and stuff like that. So we've got a litany of lists to hit before we leave the place. And we're going to see if we can hang out for Stan, see what happens with that, and then it'll probably be our next report anyway.
Yeah, that's about an hour away, so.
All right.
All right. Well, in 8 minutes, this Stan Lee thing starts, but we're not there.
Yeah, we discovered it cost real money to go see Stan and get his autograph, so we decided to take a pass on Stan the Man.
Yeah, and so after one last look around for things to spend money on, we left instead.
Yeah, we had gone the route, looked at a lot of nice stuff, and decided, well, you know what, let's go out and have dinner somewhere nice. But we enjoyed ourselves, and it was a very nice con, lots of good people there.
Yep. And I think the only money spent was on a gift for my wife, so...
Yeah, lucky her.
Yeah.
Now, don't tell my wife about it.
You could get her one of them, too.
Oh, I could.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, hey, day one of the con.
Is done.
We're fine. Our feet, let's see, I'm going to come and saw them off of the ankles. What do you think, you...
Just sitting down, I don't think I want to stand up again.
There you go. That's us in a nutshell. But, all right, well, we'll be reporting tomorrow on day two, so stay tuned, kids.